I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about sacrifice or sacrifices. Would like to encourage us to listen to the messages that were at Guthrie. If you weren't able to be there, and if you were able to be there, there's some of them that you want to listen to again. There was one about sacrifices, and if it was our sacrifices were acceptable to the Lord. And there's a lot of really good points in that. And I've been reading in Isaiah recently, was impressed with an account that's in Isaiah, the first chapter. I'd like for us to turn there this morning to begin. I have several verses we want to read, Lord willing, try to get us the context of what we're reading about. And so I'd just like to say that here in Isaiah 1, I believe it's an appeal to those that have backslidden. Not going to go in. That's not my message this morning. The message I feel like I have is about sacrifices and probably a little different perspective of sacrifice than maybe we typically think about. But in Isaiah 1, I'd like to begin reading in verse 10, maybe. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." So he starts out here pretty much. He asks a question: to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What good is your sacrifices doing? Now, he was talking to a backslidden nation, and there were some of them that were still bringing sacrifices, even though they were not following the commands that he had for them. They were still bringing sacrifices to the Lord. And so what was the whole message here that God was trying to get to them? He said, what is the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices? You know, I read through here and it sounds like the Lord is saying, I don't like these sacrifices. Does it sound like that to you? This is the same God that commanded the Israelites how to do sacrifices. He's the one that told them what their sacrifices, the stipulations for sacrifices, what caliber of animals were acceptable, and what type of oil and meal and all of those things and what type of incense and all. He gave them many, many instructions about how to make proper sacrifice and how and when to perform it and all of that. And now he says to a people that were called the people of God, the children of Israel, he to me it sounds like he says, I don't want any sacrifices. I don't like them. So if he doesn't like them, what did he want? But before I get ahead of myself, I'd like to go to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And this is back much earlier than where we're reading in the book of Isaiah. In fact, this is an account of when Israel had just had their first king. And he came to a place of failure in his life. And what did he do at a time of failure? Let's go to 15 and 13 of 1 Samuel and begin reading here. I'll try to get the story, so bear with us. He says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Oh, Saul, he was concentrating on bringing sacrifices to the Lord. He was wanting to bring something to offer to the Lord. He felt like that's what his obligation was, is to bring sacrifices. And, you know, I read through here, and there's when he says earlier on, he said in verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know what I want to say? Liar. You didn't. And then over here in the this other verse where he said, and Saul said, verse 20, said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag. No, you didn't. You didn't do what God told you to do. But he's brought these things to sacrifice. And where does it end up? Let's look down a little bit in the chapter, verse. Verse 22, he says, And Samuel saith, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel said to Saul, this is way before Isaiah said to the people, God don't like these sacrifices. God don't like all of this. It's disgusting to me. I'm full of it. And he told, through Samuel, he told Saul, Hath the Lord as great a delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is that really what he wants? He taught them how to do it. You know, many times we have to teach someone how to do something, and it's not so much for our benefit as it is for their benefit. So I want us to look at sacrifices a little differently this morning. And I want you to know I appreciate everyone's sacrifices in this congregation. I appreciate the sacrifices that were made yesterday. We could have all done something else. I don't know about you, but I had things I could do at my house. I had things that I could do for myself. And maybe you made a sacrifice and pushed beyond just feeling like you were able and wanted to do something, but you came and you gave. And, you know, I think it's important that we do that. I think it's important for us to learn how to sacrifice for a common cause and a common good. It's something that the next generation needs to see, they need to know about, they need to be taught how to do it. But you know who benefits the most when we make sacrifices? It's us, individually. You know, God, all things is in his control, and he could have erased all of this building, and we could have had a magnificent Carthage marble building here today if God wanted to do it that way. I mean, he could have made it happen. I don't know how, but he could have done that. But, you know, what we did, it's for our benefit. You know, it's we benefit greatly from the sacrifices that's been made to bring the chapel to the level of completion that we have today. And who's benefiting from it? I am. You are. It's a benefit to us. Well, the Lord would meet with us anywhere we want to get together in his name. And our sacrifice, yes, it's for the Lord, but we're the one that's really benefiting from it. The Israelites that brought their of the best, they did it because they should. What was being taught them, they didn't get it. And sometimes we don't get it. What was being taught to them was to give of their best to the Master, to give of their best to the Lord. And who benefited the most? They did. When they learned the benefit of sacrifice and of giving, they benefited the most. In Hebrews, I'd like to go there, Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and I'd like for us to recognize what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. And he had some of the, I'm not going to say that I'm in the same league with the Apostle Paul by any means, but he had some of the thoughts, I believe, that have inspired us. He said here in Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 11, he says, "But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." So apparently he was speaking in the temple there. He says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of flesh," if that was possible, if that really did it, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, Jesus came and made a sacrifice. He made it for to appease the wrath of God on sin. He made it for who benefited the most from that sacrifice? I'm benefiting from it today. But, you know, Jesus benefited from it too. He was able to be in fellowship. He gave it because of what? Because he loved us. Because he loved us enough. He wanted to do it. The whole concept behind sacrifice in the Old Testament, I believe, is that people were able to exhibit their level of love and devotion and appreciation for God choosing them to be a special people. You'll have to engage your mind a little bit here. You know, sacrifices, it seemed like, were required. And sometimes we get a mindset that sacrifice is what is required to please God. If we're not sacrificing, we're not really living for the Lord. It can even be said that way. You know, sacrifices is an extension of my appetite and my desire to be pleasing to the Lord. It's not a requirement that makes me pleasing to the Lord. Get your head around that. It's not that if I make enough sacrifice, the Lord's going to accept me. No, that's not what it is. My sacrifices is the things that I want to do because I'm devoted to the Lord. I want to see his cause prosper. I want to see the thing go forward. I want to see the congregation prosper. I want to see my fellow man prosper. I want someone else to catch a glimmer. I want someone else to get a hold of the concept of how they can live a life that's victorious in the world that we live in today. I want it to go beyond that, so I'm willing to stay up and prepare. I'm willing to fight against the enemy that wants to interject his plans and confusion and distraction and everything else so I can have something to give to those little children so their eyes will light up and they'll be excited about going to Sunday school. And it's because I'm trying to, Lord, how do I plant a little idea in my, you know, that's why we put stickers on pieces of paper and draw pictures and all of that. We're trying to plant some little concepts in their mind so they understand give them enough components and they can start putting this together in their mind. We want them to get it, don't we? That's why I make sacrifices. I want someone else to get it. I want someone else to be able to be willing to sacrifice for the next generation, for the next people coming along, those that come into our midst. It's going to take some sacrifice, but that's not what makes God look down and smile in approval. The Apostle Paul said, "If of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, if that does some kind of atonement, how much more would the blood of Jesus Christ?" That's verse 14. And as for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, verse 15. By means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Here comes the benefit, because Jesus made a sacrifice, because he wanted to, because he loved you. Not because he was required, this is the penalty. He loved you enough to make that sacrifice. For there, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. There's a level of commitment it's going to cost to pass it on. He says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So he's talking about the there was a sacrifice, there was a life given to sprinkle all of these things with a blood, so there could be some atonement. But is that, remember what Isaiah said? I'm full of it. That's not really what I want. What did God want in the Old Testament? He taught him how to do this. He instructed Moses how to dedicate and sanctify and all this stuff with the blood of a sacrifice, all of this stuff. It looks like that's what the essence of it is. It looks like what the essence of Christianity is today is sacrifice. I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't go here and I live without this, all because I'm sacrificing for the cause of God. Is that really what it is? Is that really what gives God? Is that why we're a Christian? Is that what we're trying to, how we're gaining acceptance and approval? And is that how we rationalize in our mind that this is what is required, so this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to sacrifice because I want God's approval? It's a struggle, isn't it? If we live that way. No sacrifice is sufficient. None of it. We can't sacrifice enough to be accepted. We can sacrifice everything. We can sacrifice our life, literally. We can cause ourselves physical harm. You can break your fingers. I'm breaking my fingers because I know that I'll do something wicked with them if I don't break them. And that way I break my fingers and maim my hands where I can't do anything except pray. Is that our entrance? You know, there's people that's made sacrifices and crawled on their knees for miles because they thought it was required of them. But no sacrifice is sufficient. There was a sacrifice made because he loved us. Jesus loved you enough, and that was his motivation. He loved you enough to make that kind of sacrifice. So what's it all about? Isaiah said, let's go back there. Isaiah 1. What did Isaiah say to the people? He was talking about people that were backslidden. And he said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. I've had all I can stand. I don't, what good is this doing? You bring it, What good is it doing if there's something else? There's something else behind it all. There's something else behind sacrificing my time. And there's something else besides sacrificing maybe an ambition or sacrificing a fulfillment of mine that I would like to achieve. There's something more than that that God's looking for. He said in verse 16, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." From the very beginning, God didn't want men to choose to do evil. He wanted them to choose to do right. He wanted Adam and Eve to choose to only eat of the tree of life and to be obedient and tend to the garden and name all of the animals and be fruitful and multiply. That's what he wanted out of them. But when they chose to do something different, sacrifice came into the picture. But really, is that what God wanted? God created the animal that was sacrificed that he took the skin off of to make a coat out of. He made that animal for a different purpose in the beginning. He didn't make him, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a deer, and the Lord took the skin of a deer and made a coat for Adam and one for Eve and took two deer. I don't know. But I know this, that the Lord had a different purpose for the deer than to just be a coat provider for mankind. And the Lord had a different purpose, ultimately, than just to slaughter all of the perfect creatures for sacrifices in the Old Testament. He had a different purpose. He wanted the children of Israel to quit doing evil. He said, "Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Learn to do the good things." You know, sometimes it takes sacrifice to learn how to do the right thing. And there's a process there of understanding that has to come. And we teach others that it takes some sacrifice. It does, but the sacrifice is because I want to do it. It's because I love the cause. And I love the purpose. And he says, learn to do well, seek judgment. That doesn't mean seek to be condemned. That means seek to give the right understanding and determination on things. He says, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. He's talking about equity here. He's not talking about condemnation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is what the Lord wants out of us. He wants us to be willing and obedient. He's not looking for a magnitude of sacrifice. What good is a whole bunch of sacrifice? If I had millions and millions of dollars for resources, what good would it do for me to give big resources and still be wicked? Even if I give him everything and just lived on almost nothing, if I still had hatred and envy and malice and all of those things in my life, what good would it do? It don't. The purpose, the bottom line, is that we understand that sacrifice, although I believe in sacrifices, I believe that there's good that comes out of it. The most benefit comes to me because I'm doing it because I want to. I want to see something go forward and I'm willing to sacrifice for it. But the thing that the Lord's wanting is willingness and obedience. He's looking for someone that'll learn to do well. He's looking for someone that'll cease to do evil. I think about any sacrifice of our abilities or any sacrifice of our resources that's not coupled with obedience is fruitless. It does no good. It does no good to sacrifice and come and contribute if down in our heart we've got something devious going on. It's not beneficial. It didn't get the. It don't right any wrong. Sacrifice that's done to just appease God is, it's just a waste if I don't couple it with obedience. If I don't couple it with a real change of heart, if I don't ask the Lord to make me a new creature and by His grace live differently, it don't do any good to sacrifice. Sacrifice, it's done to demonstrate our love. You make sacrifices for your family. I'm sure you probably do. Spouses sacrifice for one another. We don't always want to do the same thing at the same time. So we make sacrifices for one another. It's part of life. And why do we do it? Just to get them off our back? How profitable is that for our relationship? You make a sacrifice for your spouse just to keep them from griping at you. And how much did that really help your relationship? Not very much. If you've done it because you loved them, it probably prospered your relationship. But if you just done it to keep them from nagging at you, it didn't do any good. If you would have done it because you wanted to, it would have been different, you see. You know, I want us to get a hold of the idea that sacrifice, just to make a bunch of sacrifices, is not going to bring us justification. Making a lot of sacrifice is not going to bring us God's approval. It's the willing and obedient. It's the learning to do well. It's the ceasing to do evil. That's the bottom line. That's what God wants out of all of us. It doesn't matter if we've been endeavoring to walk this way all of our life or whether we just got started. The Lord wants us to learn to do the right thing and to shun the evil. He's not interested in how much that we can, how big a sacrifice we can make. How many weeks we can give to just work for God if we're not really have got a change of heart. If there's something wicked down in our heart, hey, that's what He really wants to fix. If you've got something that you're struggling with, if it's a lustful spirit, if it's an envious spirit, if it's a hateful spirit, if it's something that's causes other people to be on edge and it's not like the Lord, that's what He really wants to change. He doesn't want you to just to come and write a big check. He needs that from somebody, maybe not from you, but He needs it. But what He really needs out of all of us is to learn to do well and cease to do evil. To be willing, to be obedient. He wants to see a nature change. Our nature got contaminated and distorted in the very beginning. And every one of us inherit that. And we inherit a nature that is bent towards gravitating to evil things. And we live in a world that temptation is more accessible than it's ever been, I believe. It's all around us. And the Lord wants us to be true, to be sincere, to be righteous in our heart, not just righteous in our some outward demonstration and, oh, well, I give so much money and I give so much of my time and I, oh, I, yeah, you know, I'd like to go to do this, but I've got to spend time preparing for. No, the Lord, all of those sacrifices, if there is something in there that He really wants us to do better on, that's what He's really interested in. He's not interested in all of our outward sacrifices and how many bulls and goats we brought to the Lord, so to speak. He wants our nature to be like His nature. That's a challenge, folks. That's a challenge for all of us. And I want us to get a hold of the idea today that sacrifice is something that we do for, I'm doing it for my benefit. I want to give this to the Lord. I want it to do it because it's in me to give it. It's not something that I'm doing because I'm trying to appease God. It's something I do it because I want to. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to do this because I appreciate how He changed something down inside. Have you ever noticed that? How easy is it for us to give to somebody that's already give more to us? You know, if somebody has been blessing us with, it don't have to be even spiritual things. If somebody's been blessing us with giving us attention, direction, instruction, understanding on something over and over and over again, and how hard it is us for say, you know, I'd really like to do something special for whoever it might be. It's just like, well, sure. I mean, yes, we need to do. I don't know why we haven't done it before. And that's how sacrifices should be to the Lord. It's because He's done something down in here. He's made a change in this old man. And that old attitude that I used to have, it's not there anymore. There's nothing that the enemy can get a hold of. You know, there's nothing he can get a fingernail in, so to speak, and catch on. It's all gone. It's because the Lord done a work on me. That appetite I used to have for some sinful vice or activity, it's just not there anymore. I don't want to do that. The Lord healed that spot. That was an old miry place in my life, and the Lord fixed all of that. And yes, I want to see somebody else get a hold of this. That's why I'm giving. That's why I'm contributing. That's why I'm making sacrifices. It's not because I'm making a sacrifice so the Lord won't catch me or the Lord won't punish me. I'm making a sacrifice because He did something special for me. I hope you understand what I was trying to say this morning. You pray for me.